Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
He's a pastor who likes the passing game, an attorney who enjoys play action more than class action, and he loves to watch Chiefs game tape for hours and hours and hours. He's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on the program.
Yes, indeed. Our friend Seth Kaiser brought to you by Big O Tires. When you get a Big O no with your vehicle, there's a Big O yes just waiting for you. At Big O Tires, ASE certified technicians for every make of vehicle, 16 locations around the metro, and they're rolling out some Black Friday savings right now. Now until December 8th, oil changes, brakes, car batteries, a lot more you can save with their Black Friday savings. In fact, if tires are what you need, and if your vehicle's how you get to and from work or is what you do your work in, make sure you got the right tires. We're headed into that season where it's bad road conditions. Bad tires can be really, really dangerous. Don't risk that. Get the Big O Tires right now. Buy three select tires. Get one free with your paid installation on brands included in that, like Nitto and Cooper. Don't forget their nationwide warranty as well. And they offer interest-free financing with your approved credit. So take advantage of it right now. Get to Big O Tires today. You can find the location nearest you at BigOTires.com. My location right now is at Henhouse, 135th and Metcalf. You can take advantage of the fact that Henhouse will make your whole Thanksgiving spread for you. I'm talking about beginning to end. I'm talking about the meat. Yes, turkey, ham, even the prime rib, if you'd like. Wonderful choices of side dishes, rolls, desserts. It's all here. Go to henhouse.com to get more details, or just get to your neighbor at Henhouse and put your order in right now. Just fill out the sign-up sheet more than 24 hours in advance of when you need it, and they will take care of you at your neighbor at Henhouse. Again, find location nearest you at henhouse.com. Let's talk to Seth Kaiser from The Athletic. Welcome to the Sprint Guest Line, Seth. How are you, my friend?
Well, it's been a weird week to cover the Chiefs, but we persevere.
I said earlier that, you know, and part of what led me down this road, it wasn't necessarily, I agree with 80% of your piece that you put out, was it yesterday or was it 2 days ago, on Mahomes, called Mahomes Interrupted. Andy Reid trusted his play call over the MVP skills when it mattered most on Sunday. 80% of it I think I agree with, and that's not what frustrated me. It's just the further I get away from that game, it seems to me that this was just kind of a statistical anomaly. I know the things they've done wrong, and we micro-focus on it, and we're going to really – you did a brilliant job of micro-focusing on that third and two play and the play call they went with and some of the, you know, reasons why they did it, why it didn't work, and why there was a better option. But at the end of the day, it took so many things to go wrong. Curtis put this out, plus 150 yards, plus 15 minutes time of possession, and even in turnovers, that's happened 92 times in the last, I can't remember, since the merger or something, I think
he said. Back to 83.
Back to 83. Okay, since 1983.
That's how far their stats go.
Yeah, and only twice as a team with that loss. The Chiefs were one of those two times that they lost. I'll ask you before we dig into some of the specifics, me getting more and more frustrated, fans being super frustrated, was this just a complete fluke and anomaly, and we need to just get over it and move on because a game like that played 99 times or 100 times, they're going to win 99 of them?
I think so, yeah. I think the reason why it's so tough to feel that way is because they just came off of a couple of weird games with the Colts that they really should have won, but they shot themselves in the foot a bunch of times there too. And then, you know, you have a team that has found weird ways to lose games, you know, quarterbacks throwing passes to themselves and recovering their own fumbles and whatnot. And so I think we're a little psychologically scarred. And so it's harder to say, oh, well, same old, same old. I've seen this game before. I've seen this play before. Same old Chiefs. But, yes, I do think 99 times out of 100 they win that game, and the whole conversation is different. You know, the offense runs a different play on third and two, or Tyreek Hill doesn't drop the touchdown on second and eight earlier. The defense is like, oh, hey, they got a sack to get off the field, and the whole narrative is different.
Yeah, and I agree. And if they, you know, don't snap it wrong, don't get a field goal block. I mean, you know, there's a million. Yeah. If Tyreek Hill catches the ball, And it wasn't an easy catch, and that's one of the ones that's in your breakdown. A play with about, what, 3-plus minutes left where Patrick Mahomes makes a perfect throw, and Tyreek Hill's got to go up over the defender and get it, but it's a catch he's made before. And, yep. You know, the day that we saw 446 yards, 3 touchdowns, no INTs, let's start with that, was actually even more brilliant. This could have been a 500-yard day if the receivers had been more perfect.
Absolutely. You have 3 drops in particular. Actually, you had multiple drops. So that one, I think it was like 3:24 left in the game. You had 2 plays in a row where Hill dropped the pass. The first one was he was just looking to run. It was on 2nd and 8. He tried to run before he caught the ball. Very similar to an earlier drive where he did the same thing on 3rd down. And you know, he just dropped it. So that's 3 yards. But the next play, down the right sideline in the end zone, that's 21 yards and a touchdown if Hill catches it. Like you said, tough catch, but it's one you really got to make. Sammy Watkins dropped 2 that he absolutely should have had. One was on 3rd and 10 in the 2nd quarter where the Chiefs, they would have been driving. They end up having to give the ball back. And so, you know, it was a little high, but Mahomes was backing away. Very catchable. Watkins got caught looking at the defender, and then he was surprised by the ball. Then Watkins down the right sideline had one that just Tony Romo was just disgusted when he's like, you know, they've got great coverage. It's got to be a perfect pass, which it was. And you could just hear the quarterback in him wanting to scream, you have to catch that. And so if you combine those plays, you're talking like a 500-yard, 4 or 5 touchdown day.
Yeah, I mean, it is, I mean, as great as it was, and Curtis had this question in our Frank Opinions, what's more impressive, the left-handed throw, the no-look pass, or the jump pass touchdown to Mecole Hardman, and the winner ended up being the no-look pass. Reality is, it's that jump pass. That is unbelievable. In your video that you've got, if you haven't seen it, go to The Athletic and check it out. I mean, number one, he's sliding up in the pocket. He's got great pocket awareness. He's checking everything out. Then he realizes there's a guy who can block it where he is. So he jumps up in the air to get it higher, and he's starting to deliver the ball before Hardman's even stuck his leg in the ground to turn around on the pivot route, and he's letting it go as he's coming out of the break. It's one of the most incredible plays I think a quarterback has ever made.
It's so unique when you combine everything. Because it puts so many things in there. Good pocket presence is in there. Throwing with anticipation is in there. Throwing with accuracy is in there. Seeing the spy defender and being so, you know, spatial and field awareness is in there. Arm talent is in there. Because to jump and to throw, I mean, that's ridiculous. No one does these things. And you combine it all, that it's everything that it takes to be a great quarterback is included in that play. You know, the most important things, in my opinion, for a quarterback are pocket presence, accuracy, and anticipation. If you have those 3 things, you can have a dead arm. That's why Phil Rivers is still a good NFL quarterback. If you have those things, you can be a good NFL quarterback. And he demonstrated them all in one play. It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen.
All right, I agree with your assessment. Like when I said, 80%, the 20% disagreement does not lie with the fact that Andy Reid needs to evolve, right? I mean, at the end of the day, what this piece is about is Andy Reid's been a brilliant play caller, but when it comes down to crunch time, he grabs control of the wheel. Instead of just trusting in Patrick Mahomes, he is yet to evolve to the fact that what I got to do in any key situation is give Patrick Mahomes options. And instead, on 3rd and 2, he dialed up a screen, which you detailed very well why it could work, that he dialed up a screen to Darrell Williams, you know, late in the game to Baltimore that ended up being one of the plays that helped seal it. But at the end of the day, he gave no other look to Patrick Mahomes, and he needs to give him another look. Well, first of all, go ahead and explain how you came to that conclusion, and then I'll talk about where I think the next layer comes, even beyond what you did. Why is that play, you know, not what should be dialed up on 3rd and 2 late in the game?
Sure. And so, first of all, you know, people talk about pass versus run. I personally would have run the ball again, and I wrote about this a little bit in the article. Sometimes you got to just look at the opponent and see what's happening. The Titans' defense looked beat after the previous run. They had kind of allowed themselves to be pushed back 5 yards. So you can just run the ball there. But I don't really have a problem with passing it in general. I mean, passing's efficient. You have the MVP. Use him. The issue is that by their very nature, screens have one option. You either the screen works and it fools the defense, or you're kind of hosed for a couple different reasons. The first is that as soon as the ball is snapped on screen passes, 99% of the time, offensive linemen, they're not really blocking. They're pretending to block, which means they're pushing rushers towards you, which means if your first option isn't open, you have a bunch of large men pursuing you immediately. The other thing is offensive linemen, once they allow those rushers to go by, they turn and start running downfield to make their blocks, assuming the ball's going to come out. Meaning if you try to survey the field, you're going to have an illegal man downfield and you're going to draw a penalty. So screens, by their very nature, they are a one-option play. Now, Reed has occasionally cooked in options on multiple sides of the field. So even if he'd done that, if he dialed up a screen that by its design had, you know, the screen and then a bailout slant on the other side or something like that, I would have had less of a problem with it. But my biggest issue is with the play call itself. There's one option. It's either Andy Reid has outsmarted the opponent or it's dead in the water. And by removing those options, you take away one of Mahomes' most special traits, his ability to create when things go south and his ability to read defenses and see what's happening post-snap. So that's my biggest problem with that is, like you said, Reed's a great play caller. But he didn't need to control everything, and that's what he did. What he should do is use that brilliant play calling to find three or four good options and then say, hey, you're the MVP. These are all great options that I have cooked up in my head because I'm a genius and I have been for 20 years. And you pick one because you're the MVP.
Yeah, and I'll give you the next layer to that. The reason why he's got to do it is right now Patrick Mahomes knows he's having great success, knows that Andy Reid is a guru. He knows that Andy Reid's made numerous quarterbacks better. He's seen young quarterbacks like Mitchell Trubisky in his own draft class, Trubisky struggle. He's seen, you know, now Sam Darnold and you know, guys from that class that are not having success. And certainly there's a confidence that comes with you're just not as good as he is or any of the great ones without knowing that you're better, you're different, you're the difference maker. So I have no doubt that, you know, he's always felt that he was better than Sam Darnold or any other quarterback that, you know, Josh Allen that are kind of having, you know, having their lumps. I have no doubt that he believes it. But so now he's turning along, he's putting up the numbers, he's winning games. That's going to be an important part of you know, establishing his, you know, I don't know, what would you call it, his mark on the game. And then he's going to get paid. He's going to get the big contract. But once he gets paid, then you get even more empowered. And this is where a great quarterback and a coach can diverge. He is not going to want, when the game is on the line, to have some play called that could be run by a robot. He is going to want to be able to have the game in his hands. And I think this is where Andy Reid has to evolve. I get people all the time saying, well, not all the time. I've had a few people saying, well, when is, and I think it's mostly because they get frustrated with Andy Reid. So they want to find a reason because there isn't a realistic reason to get rid of Andy Reid. But they're pissed, and they want their pound of flesh right now. And so they're trying to come up with a reason why Andy Reid should be fired. And it's the new one is, well, how long is Patrick Mahomes going to take playing for Andy Reid? Like, it's this horrible sense. And you and I both know that the play design and all the things he's doing, all the success he's having, Patrick Mahomes is well aware that if nothing else, the week of preparation and at least the first 58 minutes of the game, he couldn't ask for anybody better. But late in the game, he's going to want the ball, and he's going to have the right, whether people like it or not, whether Clark Hunt likes it or not, whether Andy Reid likes it or not, he's going to be bigger than all of them. You know, Clark Hunt was there today, and he was talking about, you know, he got asked about the contract and you know, what it means to have a Michael Jordan of the NFL. And he says, well, winning's what really sells your brand, and having a star player helps. Well, winning, that shouldn't even be mentioned. Yes, no team becomes a brand. No team becomes iconic. No team becomes a massive financial, you know, juggernaut without winning, right? It's just impossible. And really the tale that he's trying to tell is to make the Chiefs the Green Bay Packers, right? Because they're not going to be the Cowboys with a built-in massive population or the Jets or Giants that are going to do it. You got to become a phenomenon like the Packers. And Patrick Mahomes is what's going to do it. And he's heard it. He knows it. His agent knows it. And he's going to have that play. You know, he should do it for the right reason of, one, it gives him, as you point out really well in that article, more options and more chances to succeed. But Andy Reid needs to shift gears and do that, because he does. Not right now necessarily, but in the future, he's going to need to make sure Patrick Mahomes is happy. Do you agree that that's the next layer?
It's tough without knowing anyone personally. You know, Mahomes is obviously, like you pointed out right away, Mahomes knows what he has in Andy Reid. He's a sharp guy, and he understands he is ahead of where he would be, probably almost anywhere else. Now, I think Patrick Mahomes would be a top 10 quarterback at the very least, no matter where he went. I really do. I think he could be the one in Chicago right now, and I think he'd be lighting the league on fire. I really do. But in Andy Reid, it was the perfect situation for him. And so I think that type of thing is going to help. I think the fact that Reid works well with players is going to help. But I do think you're right. I was actually just talking about this on our Athletic podcast, this idea that you don't want to end up where you've got, and it's always been Andy Reid's team, right? Since he arrived in town, he was always the guy. Yes, Alex Smith was the quarterback, but this was Andy Reid's team. Eventually, because Mahomes is the best player in the NFL, that's going to change. It will be Mahomes' team, because Reid is not going to be big enough to overtake that. The only coach in league history I think that could would be Belichick, right? And so it is going to be a factor eventually where Reed's going to be able to – he's going to have to say, yeah, I trust you to go get it. Here's your options. Towards more of a blend. It's like a 50-50 thing in those clutch moments. Because I'm not saying, yeah, Pat, go to the line and call whatever play you want. It's blend those two strengths, that ability to dial up plays and play call, blended with the options he gives you post-snap. Part of me thinks Andy Reid's still hanging on to a time where he was compensating for quarterbacks who were good but flawed. Right. And so he thought in the moment, well, I'm better than good, so it's in my hands. Whereas now with Mahomes, you've got a guy who has a legitimate chance to be one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest one that ever played. You've got to adjust. And I do think eventually, and I like how you said, it would take time, because they clearly have a great relationship. But eventually, I do think if enough games got lost that way, anyone as competitive as Mahomes, and you can see how competitive he is. He's a guy that I wouldn't even want to play him at ping pong, for one, because he's probably awesome at it, and for two, because he's insanely competitive. He's going to get angry eventually if this happens too many times, and down the road, that could be a problem.
All right, and we're talking to Seth Kizer from The Athletic. You can check out his great work on that great app and website, theathletic.com. I certainly invite you to get the subscription. I've got one, and it's great. Just Seth's work alone is worth the price of the subscription. All right, so, Curtis broke down all, the Andy Reid's records in games that are 8 points or less, and then Andy Reid's record in 3 points or less. And so basically one score games and then one field goal games. And we're working on a bunch of other coaches that we're going to add into that mix as well. But we kind of went up against him versus Belichick. And Andy Reid's right around 500 in one score games and in field goal games. And Belichick's got a really good record. That's the one thing that really jumps out. And we're talking to Eric Eager, who's a data guy from Pro Football Focus, data scientist.
Yep.
And he said, listen, I said, what do you think about that? And he said, basically anomaly. He said, three-point games are basically a coin flip. Like, the true measure of a coach are the blowouts. Okay, I'm fine with that. and I'm also fine with the theory that the reason Belichick's so good in these tight games is because he's had Tom Brady. But right now, in the short time that Andy Reid has had Patrick Mahomes, he's just 2-4 in games decided by a field goal. Now, you and I have talked about it. I don't think he's the boob with the clock that everybody thinks he is. But I don't think he's great, right? I think he's more like average at that time. But I will back off that and start to be even more critical if he doesn't start winning the three-point games. Because when you have Patrick Mahomes, you have no excuses. You either don't know anything about defense and can't stop anybody, so you're still in a coin flip situation, or you're choking yourself. You're literally choking when it comes to play calling late in games. Do you agree that, first of all, do you think it is just a coin flip no matter who your quarterback is? And do you think that he should definitively be better with Mahomes late in games than he was with the other quarterbacks?
I don't agree that it's just a coin flip. I think statistically it's a coin flip, but I think aggregate statistics and individual circumstances are two different things. you know, it's kind of, you know, 70% of the time it works every time kind of idea.
Right.
And
right.
So I tend to think that while those things are more random than fans think, they're not completely random. I'm hedging my bets, of course, like a yes and no answer. But I do think that Reed does certain things that lend him to ending up in close games and giving teams another shot, like taking too much control of the offense when things are a little bit tight. Or, and I'm sure Eric probably talked about this because I know this is a big thing of his, you know, refusing to be aggressive on fourth and short and settling for field goals. Mm-hmm. Field goals, you know, settling for field goals in certain situations is going to tend to put you in more close games because you're not going to pull away. And like this last week, you know, the Chiefs, I mean, what, fourth and two, fourth and three, field goal. It's just this constant, more conservative look. So I do think that Reed does need to be better than what he's been. I would put it more on that first 58 minutes than the final 2 minutes, though. I think he needs to tighten up the things that get him there rather than those last couple minutes. And that one thing in the last couple minutes is, again, understanding that you have the MVP, rely on him. And the thing you mentioned about the defense, I do think that's relevant. I saw a really good stat floating around today that if you look at Patrick Mahomes' stats and his wins versus his losses, they're basically the same. Whereas, like, every other quarterback, and I wish I could tell you, maybe it was Warren Sharp, I can't remember, it was a really good stats guy who I really respect. Every other quarterback in the league, including the great ones, their stats are way worse in losses. In other words, Mahomes is who he is, basically all the time so far in his career. So if you lose, it was probably the defense most of the time, except, like, you know, the Indy game earlier this year. So Reed's got to tighten those things up, but really, if the defense can just play at an average level, it's not going to matter that much what Andy Reid does in the final 2 minutes of games, because if you get the defense that showed up and largely played really well against the red-hot Vikings team combined with Mahomes, in theory, you're not going to be playing a lot of close games.
We're talking to Seth Kizer, so you mentioned the defense. Where do you sit on the defense after they take a big step back? This wasn't the game we thought they would be at. Were the other three games the mirage and this is reality, or what are we looking at here?
Well, I know Curtis and I had some fun last night. Yep. As I'm going through the film, and I'm sitting there, why would they run this alignment on the goal line with Henry, you know, the ball on the 1 yard line? And someone was like, I was there, I'm pretty sure there's only 10 guys on the field. And I counted, I was like, oh my God, they did it again. They had 10 guys on the field when Henry ran for a 1 yard touchdown. And that's just unbelievable. That's the second time this year. And those are the things where it's like, what? What is happening? Because I really like a lot of stuff. You and I have talked about this. Steve Spagnuolo's done some really good stuff. And I don't know if they're rotating guys too much or what. But man, 10 guys on the field. And it just so happens that I'm assuming if the guy was Frank Clark, like a lot of people are saying it was, I'm assuming he would have been right where Derrick Henry ran for the touchdown. And I think having a 275-pound man standing there would have helped. And so little things like that, I'm mystified by what happened on Sunday. They did so many good things against the Vikings and, yes, against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers had to make some miracle plays. They did great things against, I know it's Joe Flacco and the Broncos, but they just suffocated them. And so you had three games in a row, like you said, where they're looking good. And then they went away from all those things. Suddenly they're playing four safeties. You know, Jordan Lucas is on the field for God knows what reason, playing deep for God knows what reason. Reggie Ragland's seeing fewer snaps, and he's not playing at the Sam spot as often. They sit Mike Pinnell, who's been playing well against the run. It was just bizarre. It's like they were game planning for a different team than the one that everyone else saw on film. So I have no answers for you with regards to that, other than I guess I'm going to wait and see what they do against the Chargers, because it was as though Spagnuolo just tinkered one too many times, and they'd been doing well. And he thought, oh, you know what would really help is if we, you know, threw Jordan Lucas out there for 10 snaps and had him play deep safety. Well, no. So I couldn't tell you one way or another, but I do know it was the most bizarre game plan for a team that everyone knew what the Titans were going to do. And instead of playing Tannehill like he's an okay quarterback, But I don't know why you don't blitz the living daylights out of him and play aggressive man across the board like they did against the Broncos and dare them to beat you. I don't know why they do that. Instead, you know, just rushing four, kind of playing these soft shells. I don't know what they were thinking in terms of personnel and scheme on Sunday. It was bizarre.
Yeah, and one of the changes, well, one of the changes that was, I guess, necessitated was the fact that they bring back, they got Chris Jones back the week before, and then now they were bringing back Frank Clark as well. And so that was more guys along the defensive line. Theoretically, you would think, oh, okay, so that's going to make everything better because there's more depth. And so the team will be better. Chris Jones played 42 of 49 defensive snaps. Frank Clark played 40. Derek Nnadi played 28 of 49 defensive snaps. And Colin Saunders played 13. During the time of their good defense, you know, we were joking around that Eric Eager and I were calling it two fatties and a blitz because Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi were in the middle and they were taking out the run. 98 possible snaps. And in this game, they only played 51 plays. They played rough, basically, collectively, 50% of the time. And that, to me, was the and you mentioned Raglan as well. Like, what it's all, are they – is this – I mean, listen, I'll say, is this to just justifying the signing of Frank Clark?
Well, the interesting thing to me is that they didn't need to – fit Pinnell to play Frank Clark. They could have just sat Joey Ivey. And so I'm not sure where they were at there because I think Pinnell's outplayed Ivey. And so it doesn't make sense to me. They had every opportunity, especially with Ogbuck getting hurt, which I know they didn't know going into it, but Alex Okafor was already out. They had every opportunity to play Jones a ton on the edge again, play Clark on the other edge, and then rotate Pinnell, Saunders, and Nnadi. Like, it worked against the Vikings, a better offense by a wide margin. It worked. Dalvin Cook, and you know, Derrick Henry, he had one really great run and a few very good ones. But Dalvin Cook is a mile better than Derrick Henry. And the Chiefs did really well against him. So I don't know why you move away from that game plan. I understand you can't be predictable, but it felt like tinkering for its own sake. I don't think they would do things just to justify a big contract. At least, man, I hope not. But you don't have to... You don't have to sit Pinnell to play Clark. They chose Ivy on a limited snap basis over Pinnell, and that's where it makes no sense to me. And that's where I just don't understand what they were thinking. And then when you combine that with having, you know, Thornhill suddenly playing close to the line of scrimmage instead of playing deep where he's better, it's mystifying to me. And I really hope that when Spagnuolo's available on Friday, he gets asked about it. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a good answer because no one, you know, it's going to be a bunch of coach speak. But that's where it's frustrating for me is, you know, Ivy's done perfectly well as a penetrator and that kind of, you know, format. But he is not a guy who stands firm at the point of attack. And so, like, on that Derrick Henry 68-yard touchdown run, Nnadi got steamrolled, but so did Ivy. And you can think maybe, you know, that would have been a great snap to have a 6'4", 330 pound guy like Mike Pinnell out there to maybe help the line not get washed so far out to where Henry didn't have all that space to cut in front of Thornhill. So that's where I'm frustrated. I don't understand the personnel choices they're making or where they're putting them for at least one game.
Seth Kizer's with us from The Athletic. By the way, thank you for bringing that up because, you know, I heard a lot of people initially that first day, Juan Thornhill, no defense is designed for one guy to have to make the tackle. A lot of other people have screwed up if that's where you find yourself. So, yes, it would have been great had Thornhill made that tackle, but many other guys bombed on that play, as you just pointed out, some of the names for it to end up there. Let's get to our final four brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute, KC's first and only hospital that's dedicated exclusively to orthopedics. They've even got an ortho urgent care that's open 7 days a week. It's perfect for treating things like those high school football injuries. Find out more at kcoi.com or by calling 913-319-7633. Seth, I'll start you with this. Is Chris Jones a Chief in 2020? What do you think, yes or no?
I think so, but I can very much be honest with you that I can't tell if that opinion is just me really believing it would be so stupid to let him walk that I'm refusing to believe that they would do that.
Chiefs final defensive ranking is what? Right now they're 22 in yards. What will their final ranking be?
I'd say somewhere between 20 and 22. Yeah. About right.
Okay. Okay, so you're not excited about a whole big bunch of improvement here moving forward. All right, the Chiefs' final record will be what?
I think 11-5. I'm still holding on some optimism, although you can feel it gradually slipping away. The next three games are going to be absolutely crucial.
All right, and finally, when do the Christmas decorations go up in your house?
Whenever my wife tells me it's time to put up the Christmas decorations, and that can vary wildly.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. Seth, great stuff as always, buddy. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you next week.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. Seth Kizer from The Athletic. Great film breakdown. Chiefs film analyst from The Athletic. You can check out his work there. He's brought to you by our friends at Big O Tires. Buy three, get one free. That's going on right now at Big O Tires. Find the location nearest you at BigOTires.com. We're broadcasting live today at Hen House. Stop on by and get your Thanksgiving meal ordered. You got till, really right up until about 24 hours before you need to pick it up. But you can order it anytime you want. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest you. See all the great options you got to have your entire Thanksgiving meal prepared for you at your neighborhood Hen House.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Hey, it's Wednesday, burnt end night. How many times have the Chiefs had 500 yards of offense with no more than one turnover and lost?
Oh, boy, 500 yards, no more than one turnover. That happened in that Matt Castle big passing game in Denver. I'll try once.
Twice. Once was actually this past Sunday.
Well, I thought you said how many times before.
Oh, no. So once is correct, then, actually. So in that case, once is right. Yes, it wasn't that game, although that's a good one. 2002 at Seattle, they had 552 yards, one turnover, and lost 39-32.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've had our share of bad losses. I'm going to tell you that right now. You can send the great gift of Joe's Kansas City Barbecue nationwide, whether it's loved ones, friends, maybe it's a client. Great client gift. If you're in sales, you can send that world-famous Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, things like ribs, burn-ins, even a Z-Man kit. They can make their own Z-Man. Also, just all the barbecue they want, you can send it. All you got to do is go to the website, sendjoeskcbbq.com. Sendjoeskcbbq.com. Or if you want some help putting together a perfect package, you can just give them a call, 913-764-5637. We're at Hen House. Listen, I like it when people make my food for me. As you can tell, I like going to Joe's. But I also like coming here to the Delicatessen at Hen House, and they will make your whole Thanksgiving dinner for you. So, I know for some people that's like part of the joy, a whole family coming together to cook, or you and a couple of loved ones coming together to cook. That's awesome. They'll get you everything you need to cook your own Thanksgiving meal here at Hen House. But if you want them to do it for you, their incredible Delicatessen, which has so many great items. If you want to grab something for dinner on your way home tonight, do it. And then make sure you put in your order for what you want at Thanksgiving, whether it's two people, whether it's 12 people, whether it's 20 people. They got a plan for your entire Thanksgiving dinner at your neighborhood Hen House. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest to you. Our thanks to Seth Kizer in the program. We were just talking about a number of different things with him as the Chiefs get ready to go down to Mexico to play the Chargers. We also heard today earlier from Clark Hunt. And I think there's a couple of them that I think are of note. Let's go with IO72, Jed. Let's go with IO72. Because I think this one's interesting because I do think this is something to think about on down the road. This is Clark Hunt. He was asked about, you know, having a rock star player, and really he was related. They related Patrick Mahomes to Michael Jordan. The question says, Mahomes can do for the Chiefs, you know, what Jordan did for the Bulls 25 years ago.
Well, it's certainly a goal for us to grow our fan base. And when you have a successful team, that helps. And obviously, when you have a star player, that also helps. Our family was and still is with the Chicago Bulls, so we got to live through that experience with Michael Jordan and see it firsthand. That was a special time for the Bulls organization, and Michael did a lot to grow their brand, not only nationally, but on an international basis. And I think certainly to some degree, Patrick gives us that same opportunity.
All right. I like how she's like, you know, winning increases the brand and everything. Okay. Yes. I mean, that one to me, I don't even like want to talk about. Right. That's like irrelevant in my, we know, or just like, so that's like winning is what you have to do. That's, if you're not winning, that's the first thing you got to do. If we're talking about brands and things like that and monetizing your team, you know, it starts with winning. You get that right. Once you get Andy Reid, you're going to win. Right, you're going to win games. You're going to get in the playoffs. It remains to be, and you're going to win some playoff games. But winning a championship, no, there's nothing that has not been done yet by Andy Reid. He's got to do it. But having the rock star player and certainly having the quarterback is what allows you to win championships, which to me is what really makes you a fan. Like if you're looking to grab that casual fan and make him one of your own and be able to monetize that, you have to win championships. Right now, that starts with the quarterback. The quarterback's more important than anything on that mix. Curtis, why are you a Laker fan?
Winning all the titles they won in the 80s.
Titles, yes, winning championships.
Yes.
Same reason. We were kids and we watch NBA basketball and you watch the NBA finals, you're going to gravitate towards one of those two teams. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers and Celtics have huge national followings of people, certainly of people our age, because we were kids watching those teams win all the time. Winning's what does it. Who do the young kids like now? They like the Warriors. Mm-hmm. They like LeBron. They followed LeBron around because LeBron wins. It's the same thing, right? Winning will make Chiefs fans, but the star players are what win games and the star quarterbacks. Mahomes is the most important thing, and I want to reiterate what I said with Seth Kizer. I agree with Seth. I think Andy Reid's got to evolve. And listen, he may have already done it, and he just made a bad call on 3rd and 2, which, by the way, if any – one of, and Seth kind of talked about this piece, any one of 30 other plays are made by the players, this doesn't matter. But we micro-focus on where we can find the coach's fault because we're blaming one guy. Because if you go to the snap, well, why did Cole Kmet give the signal? He didn't give the signal. Well, did he give the signal or not signal? Why'd they snap it? It was a bad snap. All you know, there's too many things for us to get our arms around. We can get our arm around, Reed sucks, he blew the call. So we're always going to gravitate towards, it's natural human instinct as a fan to gravitate towards that one thing, and that's Andy Reid. You find a way that it was Andy Reid's fault, and so you're going to look at it. There were many other things that could have happened in this game that they could have won, but we've talked about it. No game is flawless. Every play has to be able to take on some water and still be effective. To win a game as a coach, you're going to have to be able to win with some bad players, some hurt players. You know, those are elements that you're going to have to be able to make work, right? So you've got to build a game plan that can win at 75%, whether that's 75% because of health or 75% because of execution. No game plan can be drawn up and be successful that needs 100% effectiveness, 100% health, and 100% execution. You've got to be able to win at, say, 75%. I get all that. But at the end of the day, Seth, what is so great about what Seth put together there is the fact that, listen, he took away all options from his quarterback. And for two reasons. One, to keep him happy long term, which is not yet, but will become a factor in the future once he's been paid. Right now, he's going to do whatever Andy Reid says because it is leading him towards $200 million. All right? So he's not going to question anything. But once he gets paid, it's going to click. It's in his head. He's the man at that point. He's uncuttable. He's untradeable. All those reasons are going to mean he is the man. And so Andy Reid is going to have to keep him happy. That is going to become part of his job because the money will validate that he has arrived and he is the man. All right? But then secondarily, it's the right thing to do. Give the kid the options, particularly when you're spending on all these weapons. When you've got an expensive Kelce, an expensive Watkins, an expensive Tyreek Hill, let him use them. Let him drop back and look for multiple options. It's the right thing to do. Listen, Reed's not a moron. There's no reason to fire him. But he made a mistake.
Yeah,
he made a mistake on 3rd and 2.
The perfect play design is what you do when you have Alex Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Andy Reid has spent his entire career coaching quarterbacks that are not the greatest. And he has minimized their weaknesses and magnified their strengths. But now he's got a kid that's almost all strengths. He sees the field. He's got leadership. He's athletic. He's tough. He has touch. He has the greatest spatial awareness that I think we've ever seen. It's unreal, and he's got to trust in that. He's got to let go. He's got to let his kid go off to college. He's got to let his kid take the car tonight to go out with his friends. He's got to relinquish even more control. If it's he's already let him take the car out, well, now he's got to let him go, be a man. He's got to let him take that job in L.A. and go be who he's going to be. He's got to let him go. You support him. You love him. You're there for him. If he's got a problem, you're ready to help solve his problem. But for the most part, he's got to let him go be the man. He's ready to do it, and Reed's got to let it happen. We're at Hen House. You can order your whole Thanksgiving dinner at Hen House right now. Find the location nearest you at henhouse.com. We'll take a break, give you things you need to know next here in the program.
The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Is brought to you by Five Farms Irish Cream. It may be chilly outside, but you can count on Five Farms Irish Cream to warm up your cup. Enjoy the smooth taste of Five Farms Irish Cream in your favorite mug this season. Stay cozy, Kansas City.
All right, a couple things you need to know. First of all, get all your Thanksgiving dinner done right here at your neighborhood Hen House. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest you. They've got all kinds of great options, the meats, the sides, the desserts, the rolls. It's all there, henhouse.com. Chase Young going to miss one more game for Ohio State because of the NCAA rules violation. One more game he'll miss, but, of course, I think it's Rutgers this week. He will make it back, though, for Penn State and Michigan. Funny how that seems to work. Tua Tagovailoa, game-time decision still. Justin Verlander picks up the AL Cy Young. Jacob DeGrom gets the NL, the 11th pitcher, to win it in back-to-back years. Some football news. I love this. New York Jets CEO Christopher Johnson gave a strong vote of confidence to Adam Gase. Says he'll be back next season. I hope so. I love it when the Jets suck, and that will continue as long as that decision continues. And Frank Reich, after talking with Chris Bauer, the GM today with the Colts, said Vinatieri's our guy. We're sticking with him. Why not?
WHB Kansas City.